Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
McFarland, McFarland Energy, thanks so much for sponsoring the Bradfo Show. Another great Bradfo Show. Our series of Bradfo Shows coming up this week. We dropped another bit, another chunk of the High and Bloom interview, a very important one, the Rafael Devers conversation. And then we caught up with some key members of the Red Sox future, at least we think so. The Red Sox announced their Meyer League 2022 award winners, okay? So the Offensive Player of the Year is first baseman Nico Cavadas. The Defensive Player of the Year is infielder, outfielder Sadan Rafaela. So what we did is we talked to both of them. That's what we do. When people win awards, we talk to them. Also, just so happens, the Cavadas can give us some insight into one of our next guests coming up this week on the Bradfo Show, minor league correspondent Alex Benelis. There's a huge mystery about Alex Benelis' fantasy football acumen and his crap talking and all of that. So the guy who was his roommate in spring training, Cavadas, not only will tell us exactly what happened in terms of his own minor league season, but what happened in terms of Alex Benelis' fantasy football leagues. Because there's a mystery going on. Speaking of mystery, oh my goodness, there's no mystery in terms of what a great story Cavadas is. This is, as we said, we uncovered, everyone knows that this guy is good, right? Okay, this guy had a great year. Listen to this stat. He was one of 23 minor leaguers to record at least 25 doubles and 25 home runs this year. All right, stop and start right there. You know that he's good. Okay, there you go. But. We also know why we also know that he was drafted out of Notre Dame. But he's Rudy. He is Rudy, as you're about to hear. How has no one else pieced this together? This is the Red Sox version of Rudy. He grew up 15 minutes from Notre Dame. He was a walk-on. All of that. You're going to hear all this. I'm spoiling the podcast. I don't care. I'm so excited that we have identified the next Rudy, or the modern-day Rudy. Anyway, and he just happens to play in the Red Sox organization. Of course, then you know Sadan Rafaela. Sadan Rafaela has been on the Bradfo Show before. We also caught up to him at the Futures game. Great guy. I mean, and he is one of the guys who you're sitting there and you're thinking, yeah, he's being interviewed right now at Fenway Park as a minor leaguer. Next year, he is going to be a major leaguer. I don't think there's any question. If he keeps going this route, I mean, he is. You have him out in the outfield along with Kike Hernandez. That's the defensive outfield that you are looking for when you get Jackie Bradley. Anyway, all right, we talked to both of them. We sat down with Nico for a while. Then we jumped into scrum with Sadan. So back to back. So I want to give that to everybody. You're welcome. As we said, we're gonna have Benelis on a little bit later in the week. We're gonna get to a bottom of a lot of things. We haven't talked to Alex in a while. So subscribe, listen, rate, review, all of it. Appreciate everybody doing all that you can to spread the word. We're chugging along here, and you know what? The season might be ending, but we're not. Off-season's going to be even better. Just trust me. Trust me on that one. All right. Let's start with Nico Cavadas. All right, here we go. Arnie, congratulations, first off. I mean, you've been to Fenway Park before, right?
Yeah, I have. I've been here once, but it wasn't in this great of shape. So to see it in this shape, this pristine shape, is really, really cool.
What was there, a football? What? Was there a football field, or what was there? Was there a slide, or what?
No, I just came out in the middle of the Cape Cod season. They had a little showcase here 3 or 4 years ago, and it was beautiful, but it's in really, really good shape right now. It looks different.
All right, so how do the dimensions? We're gazing out to Fenway Park. Tell me where your sweet spot is at Fenway Park.
I am looking at that Dominate PMC sign right now below the DraftKings, and I'm loving it.
Oh.
Yeah, we walked in, and I walked in with my dad, and we get behind home plate, and he goes, I feel like I can reach out and touch that left field wall.
Don't get sucked in.
I hope it feels that way in the box.
Yeah, Hanley Ramirez tried to hit 500-foot home runs in batting practice every day. It didn't work out. All right, so before we get to your accomplishments, did Alex Pinellas ever mention either A, how good he is at fantasy football, or B, how frustrating it is he's about to lose his first week in fantasy football?
Yeah, he mentioned both. We're actually in the same fantasy football league, and he's kicking my butt. So this is we chat back and forth. I know he had Montgomery and Dalvin Cook go down yesterday, and he texted me that he's in a bad spot.
So this is good. This is good context, because he is in the Bradfoe Show Fantasy Football League. Mm-hmm. Has he ever mentioned this? No? Keep that on the down. It's all right if he hasn't.
Yeah, he's mentioned that he's in a few leagues, but he hasn't mentioned it specifically.
Okay, so he was very excited about being in the league. We asked him because he's a friend of the program's, part of the family.
Yeah.
And it's a league full of alphas. It's a league full of Jonathan Papelbon's in the league. Mm. Johnny Gomes in the league, Jared Saltamaki is in the league, and so there's a lot of Dan Ugla, and it's a lot of former major leaguers along with me, and so he came in, and it felt like he was very confident in his fantasy football skills, but he also, we have a group chat, he doesn't say a peep.
He doesn't contribute? He's all over our group chat.
He is so intimidated by these guys.
He must be. He must be.
So he's coming on the podcast to wrap things up for the season. What would you say to him right now if you're going to say, hey, listen, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Say, Alex, it's okay.
Yeah, Alex, it's okay.
We love having him on. He's always awesome. We've had him on since the beginning of spring training. He also did a TikTok for us.
Yeah.
Do you have a Baseballs and Boring shirt?
No, I don't.
Have you seen these?
I have. Yeah, Tyler McDonough had one. Vanellis had one. They're really cool.
Well, one's coming your way. That's our shirt.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's cool.
There's no shirt that makes your arm look bigger than these shirts. All right. But when you go to a good time, you had a good time with that group, and you know, with Vanellis.
Yeah. He was my roommate in spring training.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. And we had an absolute blast. So.
Wait. What? He was?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
So were you there when he was? Where he's talking about who would win in a race?
Was it him and Marcello?
Yes.
I wasn't there. I left the room for that, but
you couldn't stomach it?
No, I was laughing because he would get his butt kicked.
Well, that was our doing. There was a lot of talk about who would win in the race.
It was awesome.
And I heard there was a lot of
there were a lot of side bets too. We were hoping to make it happen because, you know, guys had different opinions, but I'm taking
different opinions. I'm like, what?
He pulls up his PBR Super 60 video from when he was like 14 years old and 135 pounds, and he ran a 6.7, and he thinks that that's going to translate to tomorrow.
Did he really pull that up for you guys?
Oh yeah, multiple times.
Really?
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I mean, you go with it's good publicity. Good publicity for him. So I didn't even know that you guys were rooming together. So congratulations, that's awesome. Louisville versus Notre Dame, correct?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, that's not really. I don't think that's a rivalry people think of when Notre Dame is brought into the mix.
A rivalry for us more so than it was for them throughout my time in college.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. All right. So what's it like to go to Notre Dame? Because honestly, the only reference I have for Notre Dame is watching a Manti Te'o Netflix video.
It was pretty cool. It's a really special place. I was lucky enough to grow up 15 minutes from there, so it was right in my backyard. But it's such a storied place that it was really, really cool.
So was there any other, were you like Rudy, where I'm not going to go anywhere else but Notre Dame? You were Rudy.
Kind of. I was a preferred walk-on to start, and it was
A
pretty similar story. But
This is awesome. I love this. No, has anyone made this connection before? No?
Not really, no. But
all right, I know we're spinning it a little bit, but still. But so you were a preferred walk-on.
Mm-hmm,
you were 50 minutes from Notre Dame, mm-hmm. working in the mill. No. So you were, but your preferred walk-on, mm-hmm. and so you go there, but Notre Dame was it. I mean, that was the thing.
Yeah, that was always the goal. That was always the goal. I grew up so close, and I would go to those games and watch guys like Jeff Samardzija and Aaron Heilman pitch, and, you know, it was so cool. It was always a dream for me.
Did you have offers out other places, or?
Yeah, I did, but nothing was going to compare.
Nothing like that, okay.
Yeah.
And so when you get there, do you just like, okay, guys, like gather around, I'm about to hit bombs, I'm at the walkout. So, I mean, but you know how, listen, I know how it is. It's like they have the recruits, but the recruits aren't always as good as the guy. Like sometimes a guy like you shows up, starts hitting balls. Did you know right away, like, listen, I belong here?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I think I went my freshman fall, and I think I might have had two hits in the entire fall.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, and I kind of got my butt kicked in the classroom a little bit, too. And, you know, I took that winter break, and I hit the drawing room, and I said, you know, this is where I belong. I know it. I just need to make some changes and, you know, put my foot down and made a couple changes. And I think I hit over 400 or 500 in the spring right before the season started.
How did you even get on the team?
I found my way into the starting lineup.
How do you get on? Weekend. If you're a walk-on, you get two hits in the fall.
We had like 33 guys, and the roster was of 35. So I was.
What's going on at Notre Dame?
It's not going on anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have a much larger roster now, but I came in at a really good time.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. By the way, as you say that you're having trouble in the classroom, all I can think of that you were then you had to toil away at the community college. at what point did all the players on the rest of the team come in and put their jersey down on the head coach's desk? No, didn't happen.
No.
But so you get to spring and you start taking off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so when was the point where you're like, I think I can be a professional baseball player. I mean, I know that you, like when you're a kid, you draw pictures of like, I want to be a professional baseball player. But when was the point in college you did?
I think I went on a little bit of a stretch there towards the end of my freshman year where, you know, we were in the meat of our ACC schedule and I was having a little bit of success and we were starting to win some games and I was having so much fun. I thought to myself, there's nothing in the world I'd rather do for the rest of my life. And you know, then after my sophomore year, I got to play in the Cape Cod League and compare myself to, you know, similar talent across the country. And I knew right then and there that this could be something
you could
that
do
I could
it.
Do for a long time.
Okay. And when was the first time somebody said, someone said, hey, listen, you got the goods, man. You might have a future in this. Because sometimes it's one conversation, right?
It was my hitting coach my freshman year. His name was Jesse Woods. He's actually head coach out in Colby College now in Maine. And he told me in the middle of that fall when I got two hits the entire fall, he's like, don't worry about it. It's a process.
Middle of the fall of freshman year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He knew right then and there that this is something that I could do. And, and his faith in me really helped push me forward.
Wow. And so, okay. So then, and then you get to your senior year.
Mm-hmm.
And did you feel like, heading in your senior year, did you feel like, okay, I'm going to be drafted. This is going to work out. Or did you just like take off?
Yeah, honestly, I thought that I was going to be drafted after my junior year.
Yeah.
The shortened COVID year was tough. It turned it into a 5-round draft, and I still thought I had a chance.
You thought you might get drafted in the
first. Absolutely, I did. And when that didn't happen, you know, that was a little bit of fuel for me in the offseason.
That was a terrible situation.
It was a really difficult situation. Yeah,
you know,
I think it worked out well for me because I'm really happy to be here.
You know Chris Murphy?
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you a story about Chris Murphy. All right? The year before, he was the 6th-round pick, right?
Uh-huh.
In 2020, he doesn't get drafted. You could have been like basically Chris Murphy. You could have been the 6th-round pick that year.
Crazy.
That was tough. That was
crazy.
But so anyway, you don't get drafted. You're like, okay, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get drafted. I'm going to show everybody what's what.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so did the Red Sox show you like interest, or was it one of these things like when they – when they call, they're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense? Or
yeah, throughout the entire year, I had actually established a really good relationship with the regional scout in my area, Alonzo Wright. And, you know, he's a guy that I still talk to once a week. He texted me this morning, and I'm really lucky to have him, and he's made this entire experience possible. And he showed me, you know, more attention than any other organization's regional scout did. So
okay,
yeah.
And so then so now, like, you get to Notre Dame, you get freshman year, and you show, you're like, I belong here. Mm-hmm. Go to the Cape League, same thing. Now you get the professional baseball, and you're like, okay, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, was it in spring training, or like, when was it? Or
I mean, I knew heading into spring training, like, I knew that.
Yeah, I know you're confident, but still, like, you know, there's plenty of confident guys.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't need to see the results to know that, you know, it was in there.
Right.
And when the results started to come in the middle of Salem and then in the beginning of Greenville, and, you know, it was cool. You know, it kind of solidified what I already believed, but I, you know, it was something where at the beginning of the year, I wasn't swinging it great, but it wasn't a matter of whether I was going to turn it around or not. It was a matter of when, and that was something that I was super confident in, and, you know, that's where we are.
What are you better at now than you were, like when you began spring training?
I think defensively I'm in a much better position. I think my body's in a better position. I'm able to move laterally a lot better. I think I'm in better shape. I move better on the bases, too. I think that was a big jump for me this year.
Okay. And tell me about... This is another thing. Benellis was our go-to guy. He was like our minor league correspondent. He was, because we're the only, we actually forget about reporters. We actually have players do this stuff for us. But he was telling us about the rules, you know, about the rules, like all the rules, like the pitch clock and that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first one. He broke this story, I think, to the world, at least to Boston, because nobody knew about everyone like pitch clock. This is about the pitchers. And he was like, no, dude, like it's like we're getting called strikes on us.
Yeah.
So
that is tough.
Yeah. So talk about, because obviously we have to know about this, because but talk about that, like what that was like.
The pitch
for you.
Clock?
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed with the pitch clock is, when a pitcher starts to get into a groove, it's really, really difficult to get them out of it, because you can't, you get one time out, mm-hmm. and then between pitches, you can't even step out and, you know, think about what your plan of action is going to be. You got to make it right then and there and stay in the box. So, mm-hmm. you know, when they start to roll, there's really no slowing them down.
Yeah,
and on, contrarily, you know, for them, when they start to struggle with command a little bit, you know, they don't have the luxury of stepping off and taking a breath, because there's an automatic ball. So I think whatever, you know, the pitchers are in charge, and however their day is going, I think the pitch clock just exacerbates it a little bit.
Did you find yourself having to get in the box quick, or have to get used to that? That was 9 seconds, right?
Yeah. So you have 13 seconds on the clock, and you need to be in the box on 9 seconds.
Yeah.
So you have 4 seconds between pitches. And for me in college, after every single pitch, swing, take, it didn't matter. It was step out, redo both batting gloves,
same.
Deep breath, right back in the box. And I don't have time for that anymore. So you've got to develop a new routine, and it's tough.
I mean, do you think it's almost tougher for the hitters in that respect?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%, I think it's more difficult for the hitters. I think, you know, with guys on base, when you go through a sequence with guys on second base and, you know, you shake a couple times, it's tough for the pitchers to get it off. But with nobody on, absolutely, it's much more difficult on the hitters.
One thing that we talked about is because of that is because, you know, obviously it's coming, and when they make the rule changes here, we're like, all the things that you're talking about, you guys are young, like, well, you know, trying to make a good impression minor leaguers.
Yeah.
These guys are making $20 million a year.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys talk about that down there? Say, hey, listen, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, you hear guys, you hear stories about big league guys who will say, listen, I'd love to pay a fat fine just so that I'm not rushed to get in the box.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have that luxury of, you know, trying to offer something like that. But it's interesting because these guys have been playing the game. Some of these guys have been out here 15 years with no time limit, and all of a sudden, whenever it is, you're going to tell them, you know, you have 8 seconds. I'm interested to see how that goes over.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I don't want to keep you anymore. You might be coming on as a minor league correspondent for us because I had no idea that you and Benellis were like thick as thieves. So there you go.
If you get a chance, tell him that he's DUM dumb, and he'll absolutely love it. He'll eat it up.
Well, tomorrow at 11:30, that's exactly what I'll be doing. All right, Nico, thank you.
That's awesome.
All right,
to be here and be honored like this by the organization after the season you had, how significant is it for you?
I mean, it's a privilege to be here. So proud to be here. Coliseum forward to play here, and it's so special to see this ballpark.
When was the last time you were here?
Last year, in this month, I came here for the same award.
Okay. How does it feel to repeat?
I mean, it's special. It's special to see my work pay off. It's special.
How different do you feel this year about how close you are to being here, you know, compared to last year when you visited?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Me, I feel normal because I don't let, like, closer I get to my mind. Just keep working hard. Try to help the team win, and you're going to see the results.
How much more confident are you?
A lot more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why is that?
I mean, this year I feel better at the plate. Of course, I feel good in the outfield, in the shortstop, but I feel better at the plate this year.
What's kind of contributed to that? Do you feel like, is that the hard work that you put in to get to that point, or what's been your process to get here?
I mean, the hard work I put in the last off season, and take better pitches this year.
This has been a crazy year, right, for you?
Yes.
I mean, going to Los Angeles for the All-Star Game, this stuff, you know, all the success, all the Twitter image. I mean, it's a crazy year.
Yes, it was a fun year. It was a fun year.
This is the most fun you've had playing baseball?
Yes, of course. This year was so special because I was having more fun than anything, and it's helped me a lot. You can see I made better adjustment playing the game the right way, but having fun as well.
Sidon, this is your second, good to see you. This is your second straight year here.
Yes.
How confident are you that come next September you will be here again, and this time playing for the big teams?
I mean, that's the main goal, to not just to come here, but come to play here next year.
And I mean, this is, you know, how realistic does that feel now? Like, this, probably you are certain to be at least the 40-man roster this winter, right? Like, you're going to be part of the big league.
Hopefully, yeah. That's the goal. That was the goal. Entering this season, try to make the 40-man roster, but yeah.
What do you think kind of led to the increased success you've had, especially offensively this year?
I mean, work, like, hard work. In the offseason, I worked hard on trying to swing at better pitches, and I think that helped me a lot this year offensively.
What's this past month been like? You guys made your playoff run and everything. It's been fun to kind of be a part of a big September like that.
Yes, of course. Going to the playoff is fun. It's fun. Of course, it's fun. We didn't get where we were when we want to be, but just it's part of baseball.
What do you think has to still be improved for you to get here and stay?
I've been working on a better approach. Maybe take balls and swing at strikes. I think that's my only thing I have to improve right now.
What do you think your ceiling is as a player?
Sorry?
What do you think, like, your ceiling is? Like, how good do you think you can be as
a player? I don't think about that. I just work hard to be the best version of me that I can be.
What do you make of when people compare you to Mookie? It's kind of the obvious comparison. How do you feel about that?
I mean, that's big because obviously it's one of the best players now in the league. It's a privilege that they compare me to him, but he's Mookie and I'm Rafael.
So that's not the kind of thing that puts pressure on you?
No.
What's the coolest thing that happened to you this year?
I mean, obviously, go to the future game and make the playoffs with the team. That was one of the best things this year. It was fun.
Of all the highlight reel plays, which, in your opinion, was the best?
It was one that wasn't captured on camera because it was in Asheville and they didn't film it, but on camera the home run that I dropped.
Which one?
The second one in against Mets.
Yeah. Tell us about the one that wasn't on camera.
I was playing shift to left field. I was like in left center. I was a line drive like in center to right center field, and I make a Superman dive and catch. It was crazy.
We had to be there.
Somebody's gonna have it on a cell phone camera or something.
Hopefully, if they have it, they can send it to me.
You said you don't get wrapped up in the comparisons to Mookie. What?
No.
What are the expectations you have for yourself as a big league player?
I mean, of course, help the team win. That's the main focus. That's why I'm here. Try to help the team win. Try to win a World Series with the Red Sox. I think that's the main goal.
How much? Conversations with Team Netherlands about playing in the WBC?
Yes. I have talked to them, but it's nothing for sure yet. But I've talked to them.
It'd be like to play with Xander on.
That would be crazy.
What do you think it would be like to just to hit? You look around this ballpark right now, just to hit in this park. What do you think it would be?
It would be crazy. It would be awesome experience.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.